And welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Thursday, March 13, 2025. If you tuned in specifically for Steve Quayle has a schedule conflict, so he's not going to be here this evening. So I just want to let you know that. Thank you for joining us on Rumble, on Twitter, and whatever audio platform you might be listening on, except for Spotify, of which we've been banned from Spotify for quite a length of time. I have to nudge to my right. No one ever told me that before. Go to the right. I've been on the right for quite some time. I want to let you know that we appreciate your support, you're following us on Twitter. It makes a difference in some sort of algorithmic way. I wonder if that's a word, but it makes a difference, and we appreciate that. It increases our reach, and even if you don't tune in, even if you just want to do the audio, just create a Rumble account and do us a favor, click the follow button. That's all you got to do. It's really simple. And we appreciate that. If you come into the Rumble chat just to create havoc and mayhem, we'll kick you out and forever ban you. Okay, and it doesn't matter how many times you change your account names or whatever. We're going to do that because you know what, folks, our life's too short for that baby crap. Okay, if you want to do that, go over to the left or stay on the left and do that to them. Got a lot of great emails, of support, and got a lot of great things going on. I'm going to open this up. Randy Taylor, as you heard late last night, or no, you didn't hear because it was off air. So Randy Taylor is joining me in place of Steve Quayle. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, including and especially the fact, well, the storm is here. The storm is here. Before I bring RT on, I'm going to play this to set the stage for tonight. And we're going to go in a lot of different directions, talk about a lot of different things, very interesting things. We're fixing on some deep dives, of course, and really exposing these people for who they are. I'm getting a little bit concerned, obviously, and maybe you folks are as well. You know, we've been hearing about ICE releasing illegals in this country. Wait a second. Would you say? Yes, we've been hearing about ICE releasing illegals in this country. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about especially the judicial overreach, the insurrection. Although yesterday's show was titled Judicial Insurrection, this needs more eyes on this. We need to really understand what is happening here, because if this is allowed to stand, then what the hell? No, I mean, you don't need a president. You just need a couple of leftist faggot judges. Okay. I mean, as simple as that, or lesbian judges to be compromised. And I make no apologies for what I'm saying. There is a sexual component, seemingly, to many of these. You've got a Supreme Court that is schizophrenic, at least some of them, at best. You've got exposures about NIH funding. It's all a scam. And then there's a Supreme Court race in Wisconsin. It's going to be decided, get this, on April Fool's Day, April 1st. Yeah. And that race could change the dynamics of the nation. Okay. I'm going to tell you how during this episode, but before we even get started, let's play video one. Eric Bolling talking about the deep state storm is here. And I believe this as a matter of fact, as a matter of practicality. And we have to weather this storm, not just weather it, but fight against it. Here's cut one, just 2 minutes, and then RT and I are gonna take this program hostage. Here it is.
I know they were being far too quiet in the days surrounding in and around the inauguration. I knew it was the calm before the storm. And folks, the storm is now. It's storming. The deep state, under the guise of the law and complete and utter overreach, is doing everything in their Soros-backed power to stop every single MAGA move and Trump. These aren't just your run-of-the-mill judges, by the way. These are activist judges meant to harm and stand in the way of every aspect of President Trump's agenda, the MAGA agenda. But it's not just corruption. No, it's also sheer stupidity. Exhibit A, and I'm reading, Biden-appointed judge demands Pete Hegseth retract social media post about trans policy, and that's in the Daily Caller. At the hearing yesterday in the lawsuit challenging the ban on transgender people in the military, federal judge Anna Reyes ordered Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth to retract a post about disqualifying transgender troops from service. This same Biden-appointed judge also said the idea of two sexes is not biologically correct. Really now? Can't even ask a Supreme Court justice who wants to be one what a woman is. Yet another liberal who doesn't know what a woman is.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Supreme Court judge can't figure out what a woman is. Yeah, that woman, I know you're a woman, Ketanji. I know it. I bet a lot of money on it. She sits on the Supreme Court, folks. Scary stuff, but I digress. Or Biden-appointed judge demands Pete had to retract social media posts. So in more sheer stupidity, this Biden-appointed judge, federal judge, by the way, Reyes, also questioned the government's attorneys about whether she should be required to defer to the judgment of Pete Hegseth. Reyes pointed out that Hegseth has not been in his role as defense secretary very long. She said she believed Hegseth had no military experience, but then corrected herself and said something about having received an early deployment to do a TV show, whatever that means. And she's wrong, by the way.
RT, come on board. RT at HagmanPI.com if you want to communicate with him, as I believe you should.
And Randy Taylor _USA and X.
There you go. And Hagman, or at Hagman Report, on X for the crew.
There you go.
So here we are. It is a Thursday.
She couldn't just pop off real quick what a woman was, even just a generic definition.
Yeah, that Jackson
vagina,
Brown person, right?
Uterus,
Brown Jackson.
Yeah, vagina. Yeah. You can't really say vagina and breast because they manufacture
those.
Would
you say hoo-ha
now.
And knockers or what?
I would go vagina, uterus, fallopian tubes, mammary glands that produce milk.
Well, men have mammary glands.
They don't produce milk.
Well, Pete Buttigieg, I think, does.
Well, his might. That's a different bird there. Anybody whose name starts out with B-U-T-T, okay.
Yeah, exactly. I think we have to examine perhaps some early age trauma based on the name surname.
I always get a kick out of people that say demand. They demand that somebody does something. What? Shove it.
Yeah, exactly.
How you opened up there in the beginning with the faggoty stuff, though. That was funny.
Again, you know, you've got politics downstream from culture. Okay. You've got culture really an artifact of our current biblical guidance. And it's, I saw some statistics. RT, did you see these statistics about belief in God and people who go to church services on a regular basis? And the disparity between the right and the left is just absolutely off the charts.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
You mean as far as the left not believing in God or not?
Yeah.
Believing, yeah.
Yeah.
They think that if you go to church on Sunday, you're a Christian. You know what I mean? When right. Biden walks into church, I'm waiting for it to collapse. And people don't realize, and remember what we said, you cannot be a Democrat and be a Christian.
Right.
Because if you're a Democrat, if you believe in abortion, you cannot be a Christian, and you cannot receive communion, not even in a Catholic church.
You know, I remember those days when
the Lord's
Supper. Catholic Church, okay, I mean, we're talking... I was too young for really pre-Vatican. However, the Vatican II really hadn't taken hold when I was raised. I was raised a Catholic. I'm not a Catholic anymore. Mm-hmm. So, okay. But I'm a very spiritual person, I like to say. But I remember the reverence for going to Mass. Now, again, this is... in my days as a Catholic. So, you know, you can say, well, you're a bad guy or whatever. No, born and raised into a Catholic family.
You can say that about you. You're not, well, when you're a child, you don't have any say so.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was smeared because, you know, as I matured, I went to a Catholic or I went to a Jesuit seminary and people go,
bad dog.
Oh, my goodness. But
let
you know
me tell
something?
You about my life.
but wait a second, though. Okay. I was actually, I had to actually admit that in federal court. Okay. That I graduated from a Jesuit seminary. But here's the thing with that. I saw no blood oaths. I was not exposed to any kind of abnormal doctrine. I will say that we never learned Bible. We never learned Christian principle. Well, we never learned really the Bible. Okay, we never really studied the Bible. Now, what we did do, or what happened was they taught us church history. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that kind of took over everything. And then, of course, 3 years of Latin, 3 years of German. Try me on German. The only thing I know is Der Schweinhund. And apparently that's not really a good... that's calling someone a female dog. Anyway, or son of a female dog. But anyway, so that's my remnants of German. I suppose I can get along. Now, Latin, on the other hand, it comes in handy pretty much when you go into texts and stuff. But see, here's the thing. People have this idea that if you go to a Jesuit seminary, that you're part of this cabal of deep staters. No. I had no clue at the time. So, RT, look, you had a rough upbringing, man. I know you did, but
it doesn't. Yeah, but
it doesn't matter.
Nobody can go back and say anything. It's like that's just the way you're raised. I mean, you don't have a lot of say so,
right?
When you're being brought up as a kid, it's like get your butt in the car.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That's pretty much it. And it isn't until you become to like what I call an age of understanding when you start poking around, looking around and reading and learning from friends and society. And then you'll make a better informed decision as to the path you're going to choose the rest of your life as far as religious belief.
Exactly. Now, in the chat, Danny Boy Smith, you know, look, you were too. Hey, Bills. Yeah, you were too. I hope I got that right. Yeah, I think I did. You know, being born and raised, you don't have a decision in the matter. Mm-hmm. And then you wake up and, of course, yeah. So you kind of mature into your spirituality as it is today. Okay.
Yep.
All right. By the way, I've been doing some additional investigation into Butler. I've been doing some additional investigation into some of the links of between individuals.
Isn't that funny? I've been doing the same thing, and you and I have not discussed this.
And exactly.
That's freaky.
Now, one thing, I did not see what you had sent, Eric.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Now, I don't want any accreditation to this because for, okay. There are reasons for this. But you or Eric the Tech, can you tell me how long this is?
Yeah. I grabbed this for stock footage.
Okay. How long is it? And is the,
I think it starts off with the individual you were speaking of earlier.
Okay.
Pre-show. I think, Eric, you'd have to run a...
45 minutes.
It's 45 minutes?
It's a collection.
Let's just play it and walk away for a while. have supper.
Okay, dinner.
Yeah.
Now, does it open up with the guy at the fence, Eric?
I think so.
Talk
among yourselves. So. Okay. Yeah. All right.
The guy, he still remains a mystery.
The one at the fence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Look,
yeah, I didn't
believe.
Pull it. Yeah, like I said, I didn't pull it for the show. I pulled it for archival. But right. This, if it pertains to what you're talking about, then let Eric take a peek at it offline there, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. And then if it's what we're talking about, then let's run with it.
Now you sent me individually last night a video, escort video. Do you remember that, what I'm referring to?
Oh, actually, that was today, yes.
Was it today?
Yeah, that today, sir.
I don't even know.
I hadn't seen that one before.
Okay. Did we verify the authenticity of that?
I have no way to say it's not what it appears to be.
Okay. All right. I'm just working in my head whether we should show any of this now or if this is not yet ready for prime time, because I haven't, aside from the escort one, I have not, and I don't like edited footage, okay?
No, I grabbed the first one because it's for archival reasons.
Right.
Because last time you and I were in the office, a lot of those that we were going back and actually counting footsteps and all. And some of those that we were looking at happened to be in this. And I thought, you know what? Might as well grab a backup because I expected stuff to disappear.
Well, suddenly, a lot of it has.
Yeah, I expect a bunch of it to disappear quite suddenly. I'm really curious on, you know, President Trump asking, you know, about this. And
well, he's not asking anymore. He's actually giving. I can say this. There are three individuals in the, well, four, but the fourth is not necessarily in communication. President Trump, Donald Jr., and Melania. President Trump, Melania, and Donald Jr. are very, very concerned. Melania obviously does not want to see anything happen to her husband. Right. I can guarantee you that. And she was just not out of her mind. She was very, very concerned because the threats are so bad. And what happened in Butler. Folks, if you think, please, look, you can have your own ideas. And this is the only time I'm going to say this. Yeah, I say that all the time, right? If you think that whole thing was staged, that Donald Trump had that staged, there's really nothing I can tell you. There's nothing that I can say to you. I don't know what your position is. This really never came up, but except I would ask, are you out of your mind? Okay. No. What we know, what RT and I know, and Eric the Tech knows, and the team from Shatter Ops, and everyone involved in our ground investigation, what we know.
Mm-hmm.
Not staged.
No.
And that's based on
a
crap ton of evidence.
No, there's no way.
Okay.
But there's no way that was staged.
Even if there were blanks and blood packs, you know, from Hollywood. No, no, No. And from my perspective, or from my point of view, I'm speaking from a forensic, certified forensic blood spatter analyst, which, hey, it doesn't even look good on a resume, okay? And it's really kind of a, I don't want to say boring, but it's not exciting. It doesn't, I mean, it sounds exciting, but it's not as exciting as you might think, right? So I'm certified in that venue and that forensic discipline. And I've got to tell you, blood acts a certain way. Fake blood acts a different way. And I'll just leave it there because we go any further. You know, if someone's eating
dinner, he did not duck and smack himself in the head with fake anything. The people behind him would have seen that very easily. And trust me, not everybody, I think, in that group was a friendly. And if he was out there and pulling something like that, we would have heard about it. We would have known about it. No, and no one's going to. There's not a marksman in the world that I would let take a shot at my ear. Okay? Not at 150 yards, not at 10 yards.
Not at 10 inches.
People sneeze. You know what I mean? Things happen. Yeah. So people have got to get that out of their head. That was divine intervention. He turned his head at exactly the right time. Everything came into play as if there was an angel standing there.
Hot Pursuit said he took the bullet. He, in all caps, meaning I think our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did save him. And I truly believe that.
And he believes that.
Yeah.
That's what's more important.
Believe me, he does. That much I know.
Yeah, he believes that. And that is critical. And I think that it came at a time that maybe he needed some reassurance from the Lord.
Or some severe instruction, you know, but regardless.
Something. The message was clear. And the Lord was there. His angels were there that day. I know. I have been the product of divine intervention, including under gunfire.
Oh, yeah. Okay? If you knew the background of RT.
I'm telling you, when someone shoots in a nightclub playing pool, when someone walks in a trench coat, shoots the person that I'm playing pool with, turns around, aims the gun at me, and with eyes that look like two piss holes in the snow, turned around and walked away. And here's the thing. There was only three of us in that room. He, by all intents and purposes, and in all reasoning and all logic,
including
the perp.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy that got it right between the eyes, myself and the perp. And it was that simple. He looked at me, and for some reason, he turned and he walked away. And if I was the hitman, if I was the gunner, I would have shot me because I was the only witness, and there was no one around. This is the way this nightclub was designed, and okay. I'm just telling you, there's one example, just one example of divine intervention. And I've got a bunch of them. That's why I said, that's why I amputated my leg. I'm supposed to be doing something.
And that's really, and folks, I'm going to be honest with you. Okay. I've had some long discussions with Steve Quayle. My wife, members of my family, you know, is now the time just to say, look, this iteration of my life is over in terms of the Hagman report. Now, please, I don't want pity. I don't want concern. I'm just giving you straight, you know, is it time to move on? Is it time to do something else?
Like every man asks himself in his life, at some point you say, am I done doing what I'm doing? Is it time to retire? You know, is it time to go fishing? Do I even know how to fish
Yeah, do I? I don't have the time for patience, and I don't have the patience for fishing. So, yeah.
Shooting the fish.
It's more efficient if you just drop a. Never mind. But that's where we're at today, and I think when you look at the battlefield, and this is part of the program tonight. I think we'll hold off on the. I want to look at the compilation or the video archive. Yeah. We'll hold off on that.
I just thought it was a good idea to grab it for archival because most of it we already have. I know for sure because I've sat and watched it with you many times.
Right.
But if there's 30 seconds that we don't have, I want it because there's still questions.
I think. When this initially happened, I know that I downloaded everything that was posted. Regardless, I mean, we didn't even check authenticity. We just downloaded everything.
Grabbed it. Yep.
You know, so, and
we were still, last time I met with you, we were still grabbing films.
Yes. Yes. And there's one specific, set of videos that's extremely important that I did speak with someone in the, well, Dana Kennedy in the New York Post about. And also, well, I'll just drop it right there. So that could very well, what you provided could very well shore up some of the alibis, if you will.
Yep.
Okay. Or statements of individuals of where they were at that particular time, especially in the time stamp.
And all the players, I'd like to know who's innocent as much as I want to know who's guilty.
That's a very important distinction.
We don't want the wrong people falling for it.
Right. And there is a push right now by the left. And folks, I never thought I'd say this, but I've seen criminal behavior by the left and even some on the right with respect to Butler, with respect to Florida. And I say criminal behavior, and I mean criminal behavior. Destruction of documents, failure to turn over documents, lying during debriefings and interviews.
Remember, they did the same thing after the Kennedy assassination.
That's right.
We know that. We've seen, I mean, we've, all of us, including you people, you've seen the documents. You've seen things that never were ever allowed in front of the Warren Commission. They knew they existed. They weren't going to discuss them. Everybody wants to go off to the lone gunman and, you know, the Lee Harvey Oswald. You know, it's like hey, let's put the Lee Harvey Oswald sticker on this. You know, come on. You got to open your mind up because I'm sorry, too many things were in play for that to just all be a stroke of luck. You know, I'm one guy. I just don't buy it. I would love to be able to say that because then it'd be over. We could stick it on the shelf, but I'm sorry. I don't buy it. Doug doesn't buy it. Eric, no. Derek, do you buy the lone gunman?
Nope.
And come on, we're not idiots. We've been doing this a while.
The lack of GSR on Oswald was rather interesting. The change of rifles, the change of the messing of the crime scene. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, where have we heard that before?
Yep. Lots of things, you know. Yeah. And the fact that the brain disappeared, so you wouldn't even be able to actually tell point of entry.
You know, book by Jerome Corsi, the final analysis. Dense read. He's the co-author along with the medical doctor. They get into the brain, the wounds, the whole thing. And I'm going to tell you something. There's no doubt. There's no doubt that there was. There was a pre-autopsy, if that's what you want to call it, to make it look like a single shooter. Okay. And how can that happen? Only at high levels
way high levels. We're talking Joint Chiefs and the next man in line. High levels.
Exactly. And the indictment of Lyndon Johnson. And how Watergate, again, we're talking about deep state maneuvers back in the 60s and 70s, but that laid the foundation for what's happening today and is as recently as July 2024 in Butler. So, you know, I'm just saying that all of this is relevant because some of the very same people. Now, there was a question that came up, speaking of JFK, there was a question that came up that said, you know, people are not really that interested in the JFK files because, you know, everybody's long dead and so on. Or, you know, it happened, what, 62 years ago?
Yeah, 61.
61, whatever. Yeah. So then if that is the case, why are they still withholding documents?
Oh, you're right. 62, Doug.
62, okay. So why are they still withholding documents? It's not necessarily about or for the reasons you think. I suspect that they're protecting some the legacy mm-hmm. of some people mm-hmm. and secondly, some institutions.
Mm-hmm. And I believe a man that died within the last 10 years was up to his eyeballs in it.
Yeah, I do as well. And just, you know,
just seemed like he was everywhere that bad things happened.
And couldn't remember. Yeah. So, okay. All right. So getting on to some current things. Let me look here. This concerns me. Now, there was a press conference, say, at the White House. And Amanda Head was, she's with Just the News and Real America's Voice. She was invited in the press conference and she got to ask a question. And it was a really great question. This is 40 seconds, but it's important to hear. The Biden regime lied about the border in every way, shape, or form. And then as did Mayorkas. Now, the clip does not get into Mayorkas, but my question is, what are we doing right now about things? And if what you're going to hear after that is going to curl your hair and socks and everything you got on you, okay, because this is the storm, part of the storm. And whether you know it or not, you look up and you see these clouds, and they're ugly clouds, and they're coming down. And this is the storm that we find ourselves in. This is cut to fake numbers. Biden regime lied about the border. Short 40 seconds, but important information. Here it is.
On the southern border, you've got DHS and ICE who are reporting that there was a little bit of fudging of numbers during the Biden administration on both the catch and the release side with respect to reporting the number of illegals coming into the country.
They cheated on the numbers. I love that question. Who are you with?
Just the News. Amanda Heck.
Very nice. That's good.
Do you know how many of those are criminal illegal aliens? And many Biden's out of office. Alejandro Mayorkas, who could tell?
No, Biden fudged the numbers. The numbers were totally fake. And he gave fake numbers. I knew they were fake. Everybody knew they were fake. But now it came out. And terrible what they did. That administration was a horror show for this country.
It was a horror show for this country, indeed.
Yep.
The numbers, multiplying by 10.
I'm
sure.
At least. Oh, yeah. It was nothing but lies. His whole presidency was a compilation of lies.
Yes, yes.
And he was so far off the mark mentally that I don't know how much he really even knew. The more that we hear, you know, with his son interfering with everything in the White House, you know, actually polishing his dad's chair with his butt, you know, and deciding who dad's going to see and who dad's not going to see. Things like that. It almost makes you wonder. We know he was lying, but maybe he didn't even realize the gravity that he was lying. You know what I'm saying? I really wish we could get a doctor to examine him and say, this is where this dude's at mentally, and how long has he been? Those kind of files, I mean, we'll never see. But boy, wouldn't you give anything to know that? I would absolutely like to know when he went off the reservation.
I believe it was shortly after his inauguration because you could see the decline.
Had to be. And the guy was, I mean, just when he was talking and all, he would just go mid-sentence and then days right off.
And we've got compilations of videos. Folks, you can find them easy, where he's shaking invisible hands. He's, you know, just in a stupor half the time. Mm-hmm. And this is Jill Biden and his closest aides wanting to retain power. Mm-hmm. And this is the other thing, too. This judicial activism is a very serious method by which they're setting up a second impeachment. The minute Hakeem Jeffries gets in the speaker's position, and I suspect, you know, if we lose the midterms,
we can't. No, we can't.
We can't. But the second he's in there, an impeachment's coming for Donald Trump.
And they're confident that that's going to happen. Yeah. And that's why. Schiff and everybody are running their mouths because they're feeling safe. The first thing I would do if I was Donald Trump is I would start slapping investigations and arrests on the people that were involved in the initial fraud against the president in his first term.
Right.
Because you could lasso a lot of them that are going to cause a problem today. You're going to see the same players try it again.
Same players, the same law firms,
all
the same judges, the same.
And what's with this? The law firm that lost their security clearance, and a judge says differently.
Right. This is part of the judicial activism.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, we have a video clip on that.
The president. This is a law firm.
Perkins Coie.
Yeah. Who gives a damn about them?
Actually, there are more than one. That's one right now.
It isn't like he's rejecting the security clearance of a general or something.
No.
You know, it's a law firm. They acted up. They lost their security clearance. That's that. Move on.
But Article 2 of the Constitution says he's allowed to do this. That's, yes. In fact, it's
he's
not
the
even...
president.
It's his duty as
the president,
the chief magistrate, to take away security clearances. I mean, if there is either no reason or a threat.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how hard it would be to unbench some of these judges that they put on the bench.
Well, let's take a look at cut 4. This speaks directly to what you're speaking about. These judges, I believe this is today. I did bring back a video from yesterday we did not play, but this is a 2.5 minute video by Julie Kelly. Judges are showing contempt for Donald Trump, but she goes, I think, a little bit deeper than contempt.
Yeah, that's beyond contempt, Doug.
Yeah, exactly.
It's disrespect for the office too, because of their disrespect for an individual. Respect the office.
Yeah. Right. It is illegal. It's not within the confines of the Constitution for judges to over. Imagine a federal judge having as much, if not more, power than the president of the United States.
I disagree. That can't be.
Yeah. It can't be. Ordering everyone back or saying, yeah, you can't do this. So everyone go back to work. Everything you did. And imagine the concept, the fact that you've got DOJ simply attempting to cut fraud, waste, abuse of your tax dollars and then having a fit about it.
If we worked for Donald Trump, this wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, and you know it.
Yeah, I know.
If we discussed this off the air, you wouldn't say anything stupid like this.
It certainly would The landscape would be a lot different.
Oh my lord!
I don't know how long we'd last, but anyway.
We'd last a long time because we, my friend, would have our own Uber files.
Yes, but
we could write policy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's a scary thought, isn't it?
It is a scary thought, but you know what? You need to fight fire with fire. You need to go against the deep state, these SES, these morons, people like Norm Eisen, people that you need to go after them.
And without mercy, into battle like a knight in armor, and just keep swinging the sword, man.
And this is not happening today. You know, people say, well, give it a chance. Wait a second. Okay, what are Cash Patel and Pam Bondi doing right now? If they're working diligently on cases, okay, we'll give them a chance. But if you know, Bondi's out there picking fabric for furniture and Cash Patel's moving weights into the FBI office. Now,
exactly. Our priorities are wrong. Yeah, if she's going in and removing all the paintings of her predecessor.
Yeah.
All the pictures. Yeah.
No. And then tweeting about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bunch of BS. But okay, let's go to cut four. This is what we're talking about now, because we got to revisit the fake numbers, because there's something else going on in addition to the activist judges, these ideologically driven, communist ideologically driven judges. But we also have to go back to the fake numbers. But we'll play cut four. It's 2 minutes, 30 seconds long. It's this contempt for Donald Trump. Joey Kelly, tremendous reporter. I'd suggest if you have an X account follower on X, Substack, Declassified with Joey Kelly. Very, very, very knowledgeable about all of these court cases. And she names names, and she will do that now. Here's cut four.
It is really ironic for me, Steve, to listen to judges like Amy Berman Jackson or Tanya Chutkan or Beryl Howell in particular, who is the chief judge of the D.C. District Court for 7 years and did everything in her power in that unchecked, unaccountable position to destroy Donald Trump. After listening to them for 4 years, accused a six-year-old woman who walked into a government building on a Wednesday afternoon of attempting, as being a threat to democracy, attempting to overturn the results of an election, and now to see all of them systematically trying to thwart, and successfully so far, as the Supreme Court sits on its hands, to thwart Donald Trump and the will of the American people who elected him. And to your point, Steve, they are brazenly demonstrating their contempt for Donald Trump, his entire administration, Elon Musk, all of Donald Trump's voters in these courtrooms. I'm going to be posting, I just purchased the transcript of Beryl Howell's hearing yesterday about the lawsuit against Perkins Coie. The things that she said, again, were so out of bounds, saying that President Trump has a bee in his bonnet about Trump-Russia collusion. Well, of course he does. And she should have recused herself from presiding over this lawsuit because she was the chief judge that oversaw all of the activity of Special Counsel Robert Mueller, handled all of the grand jury proceedings in that matter. She is totally conflicted and invested in protecting Perkins Coie because of what she has previously done. So I'm going to be posting snippets of that transcript tonight, and people can see for themselves what she has said. And of course, Judge Chutkan also poised to force Citibank to turn over money that is being held there, $20 billion in climate funds that the Biden administration sheltered at Citibank just a few days before the election and is doling out to these eight nonprofit climate nonprofits, hundreds of millions every few weeks. And EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin wants to claw that money back. She is poised to enter a temporary restraining order, Steve, preventing Lee Zeldin from getting our money back from Citibank.
Shameful.
Seriously, you believe that? Wow. Yeah, I say claw it back.
Well, do absolutely. More than claw.
Yeah, claw it back with penalty.
You know.
See, that's what we said the other night. The left has had this going on for so long that everybody's become dependent on the stolen money. I call it stolen money because that's what it is. You call it misappropriation, whatever. I call it embezzlement, stolen money. Okay, that's our money as taxpayers. And for these NGOs and all of these organizations, and this, as Doug would say, that faggoty stuff, getting funds, then this is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And it's illegal. I mean, Doug, don't you wish we could sit here and just sit here and get money from the government?
No.
Yeah, but I mean, just...
I mean, no,
but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but this is what's, and they act like it's normal.
Right.
That's the thing. And when you say, we're taking this away, it's like, oh my God, you can't do that. What do you mean I can't do that?
You know, the news today was this big defeat in court for the Trump administration. A federal judge, where else but in San Francisco, effective immediately, the reinstatement of all probationary employees who were fired at six agencies, the VA, the USDA, the DOD, Department of Energy, DOI, Department of Treasury. Yet Biden ignored Supreme Court rulings that went against him, and no one seemed to have a problem with that. Okay, who cares what a federal judge in that sewage pit of San Francisco?
Oh yeah,
gives. I mean, who cares what that moron says?
Yeah,
the left, the individuals on the left who are screaming about a constitutional crisis today are the same ones that encourage Biden to bypass Congress and forgive student loan debt on his own against Supreme Court rulings. But then we have Marbury versus Madison, that Supreme Court ruling from 1803, which it says briefly, the province of the court solely to decide on the rights of individuals, not to inquire how the executive or executive officers perform duties in which they have a discretion. Questions in their nature political or which are, by the Constitution and laws, submitted to the executive can never be made in this court. That is text contained within the Supreme Court case of Marbury versus Madison, 1803, if my memory serves correctly. The quote is correct. The year, I'm not so sure, but I believe that's when it was decided. But apparently now the San Francisco judge, apparently now runs executive branch.
Yeah, and thinks he's going to tell the president what to do. I'd stop on him.
What are we going to do about this? Because, I mean, what can you and I do? Well, which brings me back to the whole Wisconsin issue. On April 1st, there will be an election, and I do believe it's in the show notes. Let me check. Yes, I do believe, as we discussed, and RT, with your permission, two-minute clip, we'll throw this in here now.
Okay.
This is... this is Steve Bannon with Mike Davis talking about this very important election. So if you live in Wisconsin or you have family in Wisconsin, make sure they see this. You can go to HagmanPI.com, show notes, simply by clicking today's episode. All the show notes are there, even ones you didn't even think of. This is cut 8 in the show notes. Here it is.
The Supreme Court fight in Wisconsin is pretty damn important, is it not, sir?
It is a hugely important race. And Alex DeGrasse is going to talk about this. But Judge Brad Schimel is up for the Supreme Court, and we need to get behind this guy and vote for him, because Democrats took over the Supreme Court in 2023. And these aren't our parents or grandparents, Democrats. These aren't liberals who love America. These are radical leftists. And if we don't take back the Supreme Court in Wisconsin, Wisconsin with a judge like Judge Brad Schimel, yeah. Wisconsin screwed. They're going to redistrict the House seats out there, and they could really take away the House from Republicans, the U.S. House, with redistricting, and that could lead to the impeachment of Trump and 4 years of investigations.
Two years. Not could lead. Hakeem Jeffries, first, they will swear him in on the 3rd of January of 2027, and his first act will be to set up a committee to move on an impeachment of President Trump. Full stop. That's happening. That's why the House is everything. We got to get up on the ramparts. I'm going to have DeGrasse here talk about it. Mike, I appreciate it. We're going to come back. This fight at the court level, on every aspect of what President Trump is doing, whether it's personnel, whether it's him being commander in chief and letting people go with the Pentagon, all the money, right? Trying to do the waste, fraud, and abuse. They are really, and he's gone to the heart of it. It's like hitting a nest of wasps, right? He's got them going now. He's going up to Perkins Coie and Covington Burley to cut them off. They're not going to be walking around making $4, 5, 6 million bucks a year, because he's going to put those law firms out of business. Let me repeat this. There's major law firms in Washington, D.C., and what we are trying to do is put you out of business and bankrupt you. Just
there it is. That's why this is so critically important, mm-hmm. that people get this.
Yep. And that's a tough gig up there in Wisconsin, because those people are so left, they should be in the next state.
You know, having traveled through Wisconsin and been there for the conferences, the cities are blue.
Yeah, it's the bottom part.
Yeah,
I saw a really good depiction on a map this last year, and it's funny because it's like right down at, if Wisconsin was a plant, it's right down at the roots.
Yeah.
That's where it's fall, and it's very fall. This whole area up there, this is where they're that Omar chick is from, Keith Ellison up Minnesota. There's all kinds of problems up there.
Exactly. Yeah. All kinds of problems.
That place needs to be cleaned out.
Yeah. In Minnesota, you know, the St. Paul, the Twin Cities.
And redistricting, that's one thing the left is, they're always strategizing.
Yes.
And redistricting at that, there's a problem.
Yeah.
There's a problem. Maybe we should be pulling that somewhere else. You know, I mean, you got to fight fire with fire, like you said earlier in the program, Doug. We got to get nasty, and you got to get busy.
If we don't, what is the end result?
We're squandering Trump again. We will have an exact repeat of what happened in the first term.
That's right.
We started out with all the power. Yeah. Away it went. And then what happened? Impeachment. Just a mess.
It's crazy to think about. Eric the Tech, I sent you a breaking news story. I'm not sure if you got it. Just real quickly, because I just want to kind of touch on this. We don't know much about this. This happened within the last, it's my understanding, within the last 60 to 90 minutes. There was a fire in Denver, a plane caught fire, or a fire near the plane. It's not clear. I have not seen this footage myself, but here it is. And I think I think it's a short, very short video, but it gives you a vantage point of what's taking place. There it is right there. Again, I'm not certain what that's all about, but I think people better pay attention to these incidents at airports with respect to planes, air traffic controllers, I was going to say ATCs, planes, and, this is not statistically in line with the way things should be. So if you're watching this, this was, I guess, 60 and 90 minutes ago. Apparently, I don't see any reports of any injuries, but it's not normal. Not normal at all. RT, you got any thoughts on that at all? Or, I mean, you know, what's going on, man?
It could be interference with the controls of the plane.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. You know, I was thinking after all the discussion we had about that Apache helicopter flying into that jet.
Which is, how quickly is this stuff dropping from the news?
Well, and that's the thing. If you do some research on it, they can remotely, apparently, take over the Apache.
Yes.
And that is scary. And if that's the case, those pilots could have been there fighting for their lives, and it would be to no avail.
Absolutely incredible, brother.
So we're seeing a lot of strange things.
And again, that's why we start out with the storm is here, because to me, this is part of the storm. You know, you might be able to point to one incident with respect to a plane saying, well, you know, boy, that was a major screw up. But then again, you've got too many. And when you have too many screw ups, I got to say, you better take a harder look, right?
Yep. 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 Too many of the same thing, especially.
I want
to. And what scares me is the more we move towards AI and machines making the decisions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's always going to come back to who programmed what. If you got a rogue programmer and then an AI, something AI related, that's going to run on that and take over, and things are really going to get out of hand.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, I'm not a wizard at that stuff. But I understand. I mean, I know that in a jet, in an airliner, they can put it on like an autopilot and basically sit back and drink martinis if they want.
Preferably not, but yes, the autopilot obviously is fun.
It can land the plane.
Yeah. And this was going, the opening for this control takeover goes all the way back into the 70s and 80s, where I don't want to say back doors, but computer.
Yeah, back doors. Exactly.
Back doors. Why not?
Absolutely, yeah. Sir. Absolutely. And remember the computers that are out there? Who built them?
Well,
who built the programs? Gates was in the computer business.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. And I know of a lot of places where in a lot of city governments. I would know that because of the levels that I've at, just going in and pulling permits, Windows based.
Yeah,
you know. So. Where further up the line, it should scare you.
It damn well should. Yes.
You know, and these are people that don't mind taking human lives to further their agenda.
And you can go back to the attorney general's wife back during Watergate to a plane crash where she was in possession when she got aboard the plane of. I think it was $10,000 in cash. The plane crashed in around Chicago, if memory serves me, in the Chicago area. This Martha Mitchell now. And the wife, again, of the attorney general. And the FBI were first on the scene, and suddenly that $10,000 is gone. But, you know, the point is, I think what RT's saying and what we're saying is, you know, it doesn't matter. You got collateral damage. You know, it could be 50, 100 people collateral damage. Mm-hmm. Take out a target. It's going to happen.
Yep. Yep. Who was the congressman that died during Bush's term that was from Wisconsin or Minnesota or something around that way? And he was going back to Washington, D.C. to be the deciding vote on something. And his plane went down.
Wellman. That was Wellman.
Okay. You remember that?
I do.
Yep.
You also had flight KL-007, I believe, shot down, carrying a member of Congress. You also had during Enron, the same situation, crashing in Alaska. Mm-hmm. Or I'm sorry, the member was from Alaska. So you've got a history of all of this,
mm-hmm.
you know, going back.
But I remember he was going to be the deciding vote on something, and Bush was afraid that he would vote against him, and and all of a sudden, boom, plane fell out of the sky.
So the people that are in the chat, okay, because you're here,
and because we love you.
Yeah, it's right. We love you. No, we do. We care. We care about your opinions. I mean, are we just talking out our butts? I mean, or is this relevant, do you think, to what's taking place today? Ron Brown, thank you, Mighty Quinn, too. Ron Brown as well. Jack Cashel, a good friend, wrote a book about Ron Brown's body. Yeah, the guy was in a plane crash, but he also had a bullet in the in his friggin' head, okay? So
45 automatic, I believe.
Something like that, yeah. I don't recall the caliber, but yeah. So people are... And then one survivor, I think she had a broken leg, put in the ambulance, got to the hospital, didn't make it.
Pretty deadly broken leg, man. Yeah, this is... We were talking about this last night with Clinton and Obama, and you start counting the bodies behind them. You know, it's nobody's done anything about it.
Since I asked the question, I'm sorry, Paul Wellstone. Thank you. Yeah, didn't I say Wellstone? Did I say Wellstone?
I don't think so. But do you have now? Yeah,
man. Yeah, I thought
you did say Wellstone. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. In answer to the question, I think this is the start. CDO4 opinions are like bungholes. Oh yeah, or FU22, just more talk. Okay, well you want to exchange cookie recipes, or you want to, you know? Okay. And again, with all due respect, I'm asking this. Nobody wants to listen to any of us talking out our butts. I'm not sure, Myra, I'm not sure what that means, but...
Well, you said something about talking out of somebody's butt. Bunghole. You said something about bunghole, so that's what you're saying.
Oh, how quickly my memory fades. Thank you for that clarification. Frogly09, 2009, I think everything you're talking about is relevant, especially in the days that we're living in. We need a fresh perspective so we can... do more research. And that isn't this about fresh perspectives?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because when you look back through a different context,
different lens.
Yeah. And you have more knowledge today than you had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Man, things could be different, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why we don't necessarily run with what everybody else says. You know what I mean? We have our own perspectives.
Yeah.
And we'll throw them out there. And that's, we want people to think. You know what I mean? To think. Do research. Look into it. Shut off the TV. You know what I mean? Get the relevant news and dig into it.
Okay. So... And Earth Shaking News writes, it's hopeless. Too many commies fighting to destroy America. Now, if I believe that, and I think if RT believed that, we wouldn't be here.
No, I wouldn't.
I don't know.
I'd be laying upstairs watching TV or something.
All right.
I don't. Until I quit breathing.
I refuse to give up.
Yeah.
It might be a, you know, like peeing in the wind, okay? But I refuse to give up. And if I'm going down,
because complacency is what got us here.
Yeah.
We're here because of complacency. And go back to our parents. You know what I mean? They just went to work, came home. They didn't talk about any of this stuff, but this stuff was going on. It's just it wasn't out in the open. In fact, some of the stuff nobody even dreamed about talking about. If you said anything about it, they would say, you're nuts.
Yeah.
You know? And now it's not you're nuts. It's like, okay, wow, where'd you get that from? I'd like to verify that.
You know? Do you remember, and again, times, context of a, and the timing of events. Barney Miller, which was a tremendously popular sitcom about and it was quite realistic in terms of, you know,
things. Barney Miller?
Barney Miller. Remember
I used to watch the show all the time. Yeah, Abe Vigoda. Those, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, loved it.
There was a scene in there. It was about two minutes long, maybe. A scene talking about the Illuminati. And I don't, Eric the Tech, I don't know if you can find it. Folks, do you remember that in the chat? That Barney Miller scene about the...
I used to, every now and then, I would watch SVU, Law and Order SVU, before it got too political. And this guy named Munch was on there.
Oh, yeah.
And he would always talk about conspiratorial stuff, and I loved it. It was funny. He believed in the different things that Alex Jones was talking about, and it was funny.
It was okay. Yeah. Folks, thank you, Eric the Tech. My gosh.
He is there.
Remind me to give him like a raise or something. or you know. What a guy. But folks, I don't know if you remember this, but think about this in light of the years that have gone past. Okay. Go ahead and play it.
They're the ones who should be arresting, not me.
Why didn't you say that before? What do we got here?
Cam, this is William Klein. He was wrecking an office.
But I just wanted to meet them face to face. I wanted them to admit what they were doing.
Who is they?
He was in the office of the Trilateral Commission.
Trilateral Commission?
Yeah, the Trilateral Commission.
All right, what is the Trilateral Commission?
It's an organization founded in 1973 by David Rockefeller to bring together business and political leaders from the United States, Europe, Japan, so they could work together for better economic and political cooperation between their nations.
Well, that's what they'd like us to believe. But you see, what they're really up to is a scheme to plant their own loyal members in positions of power in this country, to work to erase national boundaries and create an international community, and in time, bring about a one-world government with David Rockefeller calling the shots.
I take it they're pressing charges?
Yeah, well, he broke a globe and some UNICEF artwork.
Well, they're in on it, too.
Okay, Mr. Klein, if you just...
I'm telling you, our whole way of life as we know it is in jeopardy.
I appreciate that information.
But I have the documented evidence. It's all in there. Show him.
Well, he's got these magazines here.
Conspiracy Review? Suppressed Truth Roundup?
The whole master plan is exposed.
Yeah, well,
You're still not convinced, huh? would you like to hear the names of just a few of the people who have been on the Trilateral Commission?
Not particularly.
James Earl Carter. Heard of him?
Look, Mr. Klein...
Henry Kissinger. You heard of him? Walter Mondale.
Who? Mr. Klein, this is
John Anderson, George Bush. Now, you remember at the convention, everybody thought it was going to be Ford for Veep. You know what happened? David Rockefeller just picked up a phone, put in a call. Hey, Ronnie, forget Jerry, it's George. Bye. So, no matter who won in November, they had their man in the White House.
Are you through?
Well,
they were making fun of it then. You know what I mean? That's right out of Hollywood. Yeah.
It's the necessary disclosure, because those are the rule. That's a rule of the game. Mm-hmm. Again, I spoke about the Aleister Crowley quote yesterday. Mm-hmm. In fact, I digitized or put it on a document. Oh heck! But the bottom line is, they have to tell us what their intent is. That's so, you know, that's one way, right?
Yep.
Olympic super time or Super Bowl halftime events, Oscar ceremonies, all of these are methods of delivery. Mm-hmm. And
and they enjoy it.
Yeah, and thank you, Eric the Tech. I really appreciate what you've done.
That was pretty good. You pulled that one right out.
Yeah. And so you have Julie Kelly. Going back to where we were talking about events of today, you had Julie Kelly saying, look, all of these federal judges, man, they are a real, real, what would you call it? It's an insurrection by the judiciary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
That was today. This was from yesterday. This is cut five. And again, thinking about everything you know now, are these? Ask yourself this: are these judges? Are they driven by their own ideology, or are they blackmailed? Now, in some cases, it's obvious. They've been activists their entire lives, adult lives. But in other cases, not so much. Maybe Amy Comey Barrett? I mean, huh? You know, what's up with that?
And the people that may have bribed them or paid them cash or whatever threatened to disclose that. You know, you don't know. They could have photographs of them having sex with their neighbor. We don't know.
You don't know.
You know what I mean? Sure, they're activists, but some of them push it to the point of, you would think that there'd be a line of people outside ready to shoot them outside of their office.
Yeah.
So you say, what, really, are they driving it that far? And they know that they're painting a target on themselves.
Yeah.
Because as soon as it can be responded to legitimately, they're going to get slapped.
Yes.
And it's going to be hard. So that's a great question. In each case, we don't know what's driving this. We know that they're left-wing fruitcakes. But let's say you had a judge that accepted $100,000 from George Soros.
Sure.
They don't want that. That could unseat them on the bench.
And I would describe that to more the judges that were maybe appeared genuine during their appointment, at the time of their appointment, and then changed. So there's that. But we'll go to what we were going to play yesterday. If you happen to watch it in the show, because of the show notes yesterday, my apologies, but I think it's worth another look. Again, this is Julie Kelly talking about the federal judges now trying to take over the executive branch. Why is this important? Because this is part of the storm. This is the way they are attempting to shut down Donald Trump. And really, the American dream, if you will. So here's cut five. Hang with it. It's a little bit on the long side, but hang with it. Here it is.
A couple of big cases today, ma'am. Walker, so they're trying to stop Trump in every way possible. They're trying to stop his executive orders to hold these law firms accountable. They're trying to, the Doge guys found $20 billion that somehow got wired to Citicorp, I think, at the last second. They're in that. The judges are trying to say the money's got to be released. What in the hell is going on? And I know these are some of your favorite judges because they're in Washington, D.C., on these crazies on the D.C. bench. They hate Trump. As Mike Davis says, this is a federal judge insurrection against the president of the United States. Julie Kelly, what do you got?
Steve, it's so frustrating because you and I have talked about this for years, not just related to the federal cases against the president that were handled in Washington, D.C., but of course, over 1,000 January 6 cases. These judges are out of control and they have no accountability and no oversight. When is this going to end? Congress has completely abdicated its role in holding these judges accountable. Holding impeachment proceedings for at least the most flagrant violators, which includes Beryl Howell, who today, now who is Beryl Howell? She is the former chief judge of the D.C. District Court. She was in that role for 7 years between 2016 and 2023. She managed as chief judge all of the lawfare against President Trump, starting with special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into phony Trump-Russia election collusion. She's acted as nothing more than a rubber stamp for the DOJ, well, until the DOJ went back to Donald Trump in January. So she allowed Robert Mueller to get away with whatever he wanted to. She then did the same with the grand jury proceedings for special counsel Jack Smith in the classified documents case and the J6 case. But now what she did, and quite honestly, Steve, this is a clear example of a judge who should have recused herself because she handled the Trump-Russia collusion investigation that originated in the offices of Perkins Coie, the law firm that acted as the pass-through between Fusion GPS, who retained Christopher Steele, who made up the dossier, basically, and peddled that around Washington for 2016 and 2017, including at the FBI. She managed that investigation. She should have recused herself from the lawsuit that Perkins Coie just filed, seeking a temporary restraining order or to overturn the president's executive order last week that stripped security clearance from everyone at that firm. She did not do that, and instead today, issued from the bench, putting on hold a temporary restraining order against the president's executive order, stripping Perkins Coie of their security clearances. Just another egregious example of these judges acting solely on their own, okay, using whatever excuse they can.
Let me make sure. Yeah.
To overturn. But
Perkins Coie understands one thing. Yeah, this is Trump's war. This is Trump's war against the big law firms that run the city, that run the imperial capital. And he put a shot right across the bow. They do understand that this, and this is why they're fighting, and they're fighting out of the box, Julie. They understand this is much deeper than just the security clearances. They understand that the next thing, the stripping of security clearances, next thing goes to cutting them off of government contracts that these guys live for. And Perkins Coie is with Bob Bauer and Mark Elias. I mean, this is the demon shop of the demon shop, right? That's why they were symbolically chosen as the first. But this is what I don't understand. Is the judge basically restricted the president of the United States from somebody? How can the commander-in-chief be restricted from taking somebody's security clearance away, some institution? See, he has ultimate authority on all security clearances, doesn't he, ma'am?
Well, I mean, you would think so, but this is apparently not the conclusion of Beryl Howell, where she basically said, and I will be getting the transcript. I was following Kyle Chaney at Politico, who was in the courtroom. This was one of those proceedings that did not have audio line, the other hearing that I covered today in Judge Chutkin's courtroom, but you had to be there. So I was following along what Kyle Chaney was saying, and she's making these outlandish declarations, how seeing the president be able to strip someone of their security clearance, you know, just made the hair on her skin raise up. You know, she was making, as she always does, all of these editorial comments directly contradicting what is clearly the president's presidential executive authority to do exactly what he did, not just to Perkins Coie, but of course Covington and Burling, the law firm that gave free legal services to special counsel Jack Smith. And I'm following up on this, but it appears like she is preventing the president's executive order from going through by calling Perkins Coie dishonest and dangerous, which he did. But what the Perkins Coie lawyer told Howell today is this is basically a death sentence for Perkins Coie, that there would be no way for the firm to stay in business if this executive order holds.
Oh. So there it is. Right.
So if this gets overturned, that means that people like Brennan could go back and argue.
In reality.
No, Trump's the boss and that's the end of it. And I hope he puts him out of business.
This is so egregious. This Judge Beryl Howell. She's ideologically driven. She, as far as I'm concerned, she is the biggest insurrectionist in Washington.
How do you spell the first name?
Beryl. Howell.
Okay.
And she issued this temporary restraining order. Now, again, this is from yesterday, but it extends into today with what Julie was talking about, the judicial activism and how they're subverting President Trump's agenda. Our system of justice, she wrote, well, okay.
This chick has forgot who she's working for.
Right. Now, she ruled from the bench saying that President Trump's order against Perkins Coie is clearly intended to punish the firm and likely violates the First, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment rights. Now, okay, I don't know what constitution she's reading from, but certainly you might want to check Article 2 before you get into the amendment. The amendments.
I think she's going to get blasted on this.
But you know, okay, so if this goes to SCOTUS, what's SCOTUS going to rule? You don't know anymore with the two.
Some people need to, we need to go in and have a motivational speech with SCOTUS.
A motivational
speech. I love it. Their memory is who the hell they're working for.
Right, right.
Especially the ones that we supported.
Well, they're
off their rockers on their stuff. It's not just a little bit; they're way off.
Yeah,
it's not like borderline decisions.
Yeah, yeah. This to me. Well, let me ask you this question, as opposed to me making a statement. Does this appear to be an organized? Mm-hmm. Organized in any fashion, these judicial opinions.
Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to go through phone records and things like that to find out.
I agree.
I would follow them. I'd put a tail on them, find out who they go have lunch with, the whole nine yards. They'd be probably meeting with other judges. Could be a star chamber thing. I don't know. Something's wrong. Something's way out of hand. I just don't think these activist judges are acting totally on their own. There's something else there. There's some other tie that binds. Something going on there. I'm going to say it's remnants of Obama. Obama's in here somewhere.
At this point, do you believe that Obama has any sway over these people?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he would call them and encourage them. Yes, and just the fact that Obama paid attention to them, that they were in Obama's favor. Yeah, absolutely. Obama is a dangerous individual because of who he is working for. People got to understand that. He's working for the deep state and the globalists. Why do you think he still gets on planes and flies around the world?
Well, that's true.
Okay? He's still out there rubbing elbows with these people. And there's a lot of money here to be made. And these judges, I'm telling you, some of these judges are on the payroll. Especially, look at the judge that was given President Trump hell, right? Dragged him in the courtroom. I can't remember his name. I should remember, but I don't. I have a file for garbage, so it usually goes. And the one that made up the charges as they went. His daughter with the $1 million foundation.
Yeah.
Right? Look at that. Just look at that alone right there. That's motivation enough. His daughter with a foundation that's receiving this kind of money. That's a far left wing nut foundation. This is what we're up against.
Then my question is why? Look, I understand how, in general, how the judiciary works, but why aren't we seeing some really pushing from Pam Bondi, Cash Patel? Do we have to wait for Dan Bongino to be in there?
Yeah, they can't produce the stuff that's already. They're still, I think they're overwhelmed. I think they walked into such a mess that they're flat overwhelmed. They don't have the manpower to get this stuff done. You know, Pam Bondi needs, you know, assistance down every hand, you know, following to where she says it, and they're doing it. You know, and she strikes me as the person that likes to get personally involved in a lot of stuff. And I think that at that level, she needs to back out and delegate more. It's kind of the feeling I'm getting.
I agree. She's not,
maybe it's a management training problem. She wasn't trained as a manager at that level. But look at how many people are working for her, you know, versus working in Florida.
Okay.
I'm trying to buy her an excuse here, man.
I can sense that.
Something's screwy here. Something isn't jiving. Promises are not being kept.
Okay.
And that's what will set, and that is what will curse this presidency. Trump has got to realize these people are going to come gunning for him midterms.
Well, literally before then.
Well, yeah, but yeah, maybe they plan on killing him and they're not that worried about it. I don't know. I don't know what the hell is going on, Doug.
All right. Now,
Things aren't making sense.
Hold that thought, because what's happening with people who have a lot of followers on social media or who touch upon subjects that are forbidden, so to speak, they're suffering a lot. Remember Sunday night, early Monday morning, Jamie White from InfoWars was murdered. Was that an attempted theft? Well, when you start asking questions, you start seeing, okay, he was on the Ukrainian hit list or enemies list. For a simple murder, you know, in a parking lot, you don't have necessarily the police going into his apartment and removing evidence. Okay. But so there's that. Then Chase Geiger, was swatted. Nick Sorter was swatted. And now a man named Gunther Eagleman.
Yeah, I know that name.
Okay. Yeah, he's very conservative, very outspoken on X, was swatted. And
that's why I don't bitch about the amount of followers I have.
Yeah, well, that's there's one reason, yeah.
I felt so cheated when I didn't get a white notebook at the White House.
Well,
see, I would have handed it back.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, put something in here, would you, please?
Exactly. This is part, again, this is why I say we're in the storm, okay? this is why we opened with Eric Bolling talking about the storm. Eric the Tech, I'm sending you right now. I thought I sent you this during, apparently I didn't. I thought I sent you this during the or pre-show information. But I'd like you, if possible, if I'd like you to run this. I'm just sending the link. This will not be part of the show notes, but you can find it on your own, folks. It's this is Owen Schroyer kind of bringing us up to date on some things. Let me just fix
it's not
that
the show notes, and at the end of the broadcast it will self-destruct.
No, they don't make shows like that anymore.
Well, those are the greatest, man. That's what we were raised on. Maybe that's like that's why we are like we are. we were raised on the right stuff, man.
You know, you go back and I don't know. So it cleared my platform. So as long as it goes through NSA, you'll get it here momentarily. But this is Owen Schroyer. So the long and short of it is the storm that we are in and that we all find ourselves in, even the people listening and viewing. Look, although you're at different levels, different degrees, we are all at different levels, okay? You know, we don't have the footprint that InfoWars has. I don't think anybody does. We don't have the footprint of on social media as, you know, some of these
these influencers.
Exactly. I just want to, okay. There is a, okay. It's interesting because Gunther Eagleman was swatted. Now, this was posted today at 4:45 p.m., was swatted after someone called in a fake hostage situation to LEO in another attempt to get a prominent Trump supporter and his family murdered. And clearly, that's the intent. I mean, that is the intent. The DOJ and FBI must act now to protect American citizens who are under attack from sinister hate-fueled terrorists before an innocent life is slain. And this is Owen Schroyer writing the, talking about this. We can play the first few minutes of it.
And you can't tell me they can't track this down.
Well, an interesting comment here by, I don't know this person, Brian O'Shea. Commenting to Owen Schroyer, any PI licensed person or LEO can get access to TransUnion's TLO or Thomson Reuters Clear, CLEAR. These companies purchase Social Security, utility, DMV, property, court records, so on. They give access to ALPR reader databases. Okay, now, what this individual is saying is that TransUnion and Thomson Reuters should be compelled to hand over search records for users that have searched for this info in the last 30 to 120 days. Meaning info about
calls coming in? Are they coming in? You know, how are they coming into where they can't be tracked? If I dial 911, even on my cell phone, they know where I'm at.
And that's a great point.
And you're talking about calling in a hostage situation. You know the cops would drill down on your ass before they even did anything?
That's a great point.
I'm not understanding something here. Something's missing me here because that information, now, if they're using relays or something, fine. But nobody said that.
Exactly. Because you and I know that we could take a cell phone mm-hmm. and make a call and mm-hmm. make it appear it's coming from anywhere. Right?
Yeah, but they can triangulate us and find us.
Correct.
Yeah.
But at the dispatch level, that doesn't really happen.
Yeah, but just, you know.
I mean, somebody calls dispatch and saying, look, there's a, you know, my husband's holding a gun on our family and he's going to shoot us.
But the call has to come from somewhere.
Correct. And which can be spoofed.
Right. Okay. We're in the age of computers. You would think that the cops' computers would be a little higher level. It'd be like trying to, they need to be to where it's like trying to spoof the NSA. Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Now you can triangulate, but as a matter of routine, I don't believe that takes place. But here's our own story.
Not between the call and dispatch. No, you're right.
But afterwards,
there should be hell to pay.
Oh, 100%. And Gunther, I got to say this. You can hear Owen talk about it. I wasn't sure if I was going to play this, but this is part of the storm that we find ourselves. Mm-hmm. And all of us, I mean, you think, well, we're okay. I'm not trying to scare anyone off. No. I'm just saying that we're all going to get caught up in this.
Yeah, the left has not given up. They're desperate. This is the dog biting the person that's kicking them.
That's right.
This is it. We're kicking the dog, and the dog's biting back. And they're scared to death. So it's desperate measures.
Well, we're actually trying to. I get that.
They feel like they're being kicked.
Yeah. We're trying to put down a rabid animal.
Yeah.
The rabid animal is the left, and the rabid animal is now throwing everything at God.
And a rabid animal, yes, is by all means desperate.
Yeah. Well, here's Owen Schroyer. We'll play the first couple of minutes of this because I do think this is important in the context of the storm, the what's happening.
And he's pretty close to the damn storm right now.
Oh, 100%. And look, you saw the video from yesterday. Did we play the one from General Flynn and Alex talking?
No.
Or no?
We played Owen Schroyer yesterday, but not at home.
Okay. General Flynn contacted Alex Jones and said, look, you're high on the list.
You did describe that verbally, but we didn't see the film.
Okay. All right. Well, here's Owen Schroyer. Just check this out. A couple of minutes. Very well worth your time. Here it is.
So Nick Sartor made a statement earlier today on the Alex Jones show about that situation. Gunther Eagleman posted this moments ago saying, my house was just swatted. Some ignorant F called in a fake hostage situation. Fortunately, I have good relations with law enforcement and extra patrols will be added. I don't tolerate threats and will find the culprit. This was their worst mistake. Godspeed, Gunther Eagleman. And of course, Nick Sartor and Chase Geyser. But I would guess this is just the beginning. I would guess this is just the beginning. Now, people have been doing fake SWAT raids against Trump supporters or people they have political issues with, independent journalists. I mean, this happened to Marjorie Taylor Greene, others. I mean, you don't think it's happened to Alex? I had a brief conversation with him earlier. I mean, he kind of told me what was going on. Again, I don't talk about my private stuff, but we've had some things there too. Regardless of all that, this looks like it's a pattern that is only just beginning. Now, the question is clear. Who is behind it? So all of these people have something in common, which is they're independent journalists, researchers. They have good following on X. Maybe also they support Elon Musk and they support Donald Trump. So this is what they all have in common. This is the common factor. So this is the type that's obviously being targeted right now. But I don't think this is some dumb leftist group behind this. I don't think this is some goofball leftist group that just is trolling or thinking it's a funny joke. I think something this much more sinister is going on here. Because you have to ask, how do they get the information? How do they get it? Who is giving it to them? And it's likely coming from a private source where they are putting information, whether it's a cable company, a social media account. So somebody's in the system feeding private information for these people to get doxxed. Alex Jones to my right.
Gunther Eagleman just contacted us, and I'm not on now. It's exclusive.
since, and I was literally going to come in here and say, do you want to get him on? And you were already covering it, so you must want him on. But yeah, look, he's been heavy exposing Ukraine, and he's been going viral. So I think it's Ukraine. Our intel is the larger attack is globalist through Ukraine. The guy that tried to have killed Trump in Mar-a-Lago was through Ukraine. It's Ukraine.
So again, this is not some goofball leftist thing. This is a very serious thing. This is something the FBI and the DOJ need to be investigating immediately before somebody gets killed.
I thought Ukraine before Alex said a word.
Yeah. Well,
this is military level.
You know what other level it is, and I'm going to throw this out there. The this Brian O'Shea said any PI license or LEO can get access to this information.
This can be our own intelligence agencies.
But hold on a second. You got PIs that work for law firms. I'm telling you right now, think about that. And especially the high profile law firms
that are getting ready to take a bath.
There you go.
Could be.
Just saying. I mean, the guy has got a point, but maybe a step further. Because I know PIs that work for mega law firms. Okay. That have done things that are not necessarily okay.
Oh.
Done things I wouldn't do.
There's PIs out there that'll kill for law firms.
Remember Rebecca Schaefer from My Sister Sam? She was an actress. I think she was 21 years old, maybe. I don't know. I'm very young. My Sister Sam.
Yeah, she ended up dead, did she?
She was shot in the face at her apartment.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Very simply, the shooter who was stalking or wanted to either, you know, essentially marry her or die trying or kill her if she rejected him, contacted the PI in California. So for $200 at that time, the PI was able to give her his client, in quotation marks, the killer, her address, what she was driving, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with that information? Went out and shot her in the face. And she died. For what? For $200. That's what's happening today.
Mm-hmm.
Guarantee you. And maybe not. Again, that's a broad statement to say, but look, we are all in this battle. So, RT, I mean, you know, there it is, right? I mean,
Oh, yeah. It can be a dangerous game.
You know, none of these tactics are new. And I suspect that there are some. There's some people, you know, you look at books like Clinton Cash, okay? There's people in there. I mean, the same flipping names, whether it be the law firms or the people, you know, you talk about Pizzagate, and the names come up, the Podestas, the Clintons, the P. Diddy list and the Epstein list, same people.
And they're still out there free as a freaking bird.
And here we sit with our, you know, fingers up our butts and
thinking we're fixing something.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I told you we're going to have to get involved. I've been saying that since Trump got in office. Yeah, you know it. You know in your soul. You know in your soul that he's not going to be able to do this alone. Cash Patel can't do it alone. Pam Bondi cannot do it alone. Dan Bongino cannot do it alone. They can't.
I want them to do it At least do something.
I want it to go through all the normal channels today, but I'm just telling you, they're overwhelmed. Look at the immigration guy and the challenge in front of him.
Oh yeah,
sure. He'll be sending immigrants out till he dies.
And you know something? That is a great point to start to wrap up the point. Okay, that's a great point because, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, this to me is perhaps one of the most infuriating pieces of information. I don't know if we'll play the whole clip. This is cut three. Remember at the beginning, the storm is here, the fighting is raging. You got influencers and reporters, journalists being shot, being swatted, being harassed out the wazoo. This should infuriate everyone. And I should add too, what's going on in New York State. Tom Homan, believe me, I think he should begin arresting mayors and stuff, but that's just me. But check this out. This is what we're fighting against. Ben Burke won. Talking about this. ICE releasing illegal aliens. This is cut three. We'll get through a couple of minutes of this. Here it is.
I've got some additional news since we spoke last.
Okay, let's take it first. We're releasing illegals that Tom Homan's ICE agents arrested. I think anybody's jaw is going to drop at the news of this.
And apparently, and it's not just San Diego, I got word from Phoenix, got word from multiple different offices across America. There's two branches of ICE. You've got HSI, the investigative side of it, and then you've got ERO, the removal side of it. And apparently, there are some deep state holdovers, Biden holdovers on the ERO side that are either refusing to process the people that HSI captures or slow walking it or just making the claim they don't have bed space, which is why I'm out here. I'll talk about this in just a minute. This is a Border Patrol soft site outside of El Paso, Texas. But apparently, many of these ERO offices are either refusing to or dragging their feet on it. And they actually released several of the people in that first operation that Tom Homan kicked off on that first Sunday. Many of those people were actually released by ERO. I'm getting that word.
All right, real quick on this. One, tell us what ERO is. And two, Tom Homan has to be steaming mad about this.
Enforcement removal operation. So that's the removal arm of the Homeland Security ICE. So they're the ones that actually are tasked with taking them once the illegals are captured, taking them through the process, taking them back to a judge, having that judge sign off on it. And this is the other problem. Also speaking to HSI, many of these attorneys' offices that are overseeing it, are also trying to block many of these deportations. You have activist judges in places that are trying to block even Trinidad Aragua, the worst of the worst. Some of these guys are being blocked from being removed by activist judges as well. So we've got every level of government is in opposition. We've got opposition actors against President Trump and Tom Homan. And yes, to answer the question, no doubt Tom Homan is pissed and they are working through it as we speak. These guys are, and you see what Cash Patel's already doing. They're not messing around. If you're blocking them, they're coming after you with the full force of the law.
All right. So it appears to me this would be a great definition of what the deep state looks like. They just want open borders. They want these people roaming the country. They want chaos. And they are hell bent on keeping it chaotic. I'm glad we're getting a handle on it, though. It appears Tom Homan, at least they're aware of this. Now, you say you have new news. What's the new news you want to tell me?
You talk about salt in the wound. One of the reasons why ERO, again, Enforcement Removal Operations, is saying they can't take the illegals is they don't have enough bed space. But what we're not talking about are the hundreds of thousands of beds that were created by Joe Biden and the Democrats to invite the invasion. These are what are considered soft sites. This one behind me in El Paso holds roughly around 7,500 people. It costs $1.2 million a day to operate. And I just got breaking news that this place is closing tomorrow. So they say it was opened and contracted through using, it's not even owned, it's on county property. Then Border Patrol contracted the county to run this. They've got all these NGOs, leftist, communist NGOs that are a part of operating the thing. And then they used it to invite the invasion. And I'm saying, well, ERO's saying we don't have bed space. We've got these facilities all over the country, but instead of actually using them, they're shutting them down. I just got word Del Rio closed 2 days ago, but this one behind me is set to close tomorrow.
Now, Ben, the beds are there.
Okay, you can stop that there.
Doug, we know that there's FEMA camps all over the country.
Exactly.
We need, not just that, we need to have a force that goes in, and when these people do this crap, they're immediately arrested.
Guantanamo's growing.
Take them to a FEMA camp and lose the paperwork.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
We can.
If you're going against what this is from the president of the United States, hands down these orders.
Yeah.
And these little snots are going to buck them. I'm sorry. Some of these people that are becoming unemployed, if they're on the right side of it, then we need to employ them, arm them, have them go arrest these people. Like you said, Guantanamo, get them the hell out of here.
That's growing in number. We know that. But isn't it interesting?
This is crazy that this is going on at every level of the government. And here's the worst part. Almost every administration underneath in the government.
There it is.
We're getting this problem. Shred your files. Do this, do that. Oh, no. We don't have enough. This is happening across the board. I don't know how the hell Cash Patel and Holman and Bondi are supposed to even deal with this.
Well,
because they're it's going to be hard to do this and stay within the law.
And stay within the Constitution.
It is.
The law be damned at this point because.
It's going to be hard to do because you almost have to do this special circumstances here. This is crazy.
Well.
And so, make examples of people.
Right. But you have.
You go, oh.
But you've got. So you've got orders coming down saying detain. And you have the enforcement ops, enforcement removal ops saying, well, there's no place to put these people. So we have to release them. Meanwhile, you've got judges who are stepping in saying, well, you cannot do anything against the ERO officers. And you've got others in county and state levels saying you can't use these various facilities. They were earmarked, again, $1 million a day to operate.
But, you know, I mean, I could go on. I could find facilities. You could find facilities. You give me an empty building, I'll have that puppy fortified overnight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To where it's now a prison. And I guarantee it. You know, and the money that they're saving, they're going to have to start spending to do some of this stuff.
And that's a good point as well.
Because we're hearing all these great stories about, we saved billions here, we saved billions there. Then you're going to have to start sinking billions into this operation. You know, maybe you need to go talk to the guy that Eric Prince. Maybe you can recruit some people from him.
What are the solutions, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, I'm in the chat. Yeah, I'd like to hear from you.
This is a tough one. But it has to happen, and it has to happen quick, because Trump is going to run into problems after the midterms if we don't sweep across the board, and he has to be prepared for that.
If we get to the midterms,
yeah.
The one thing we didn't touch on, of course, the ceasefire talks. I think Russia is putting some, if they would agree to that, they're putting some pretty heavy strings attached. And, you know, we noticed, I don't know if you noticed, but I noticed for the first time in a long time, I saw Vladimir Putin dressed not in a suit like he usually is, but in fatigues. And, you know, I looked at that and I'm thinking, what's up with that? What message does that convey?
Hard to say. It depends. Maybe he's talking to getting ready to talk to the troops. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Into the chat. Let's see here. Someone asked if we could be deputized. Okay, we, like, you know, the people, can the sheriff, kind of sheriff deputize?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. They can deputize anyone they want.
Yep. Good example, when you had the Texas tower shooter.
Charles Whitman.
Cop grabbed a civilian, deputized him, and they went up and killed that son of a gun. Absolutely. And that's going to come down to it. Like, ladies and gentlemen, what have I been saying? Why do you think I hacked my leg off? That's how much I believe in this. I'm tired of being in a wheelchair. It's time to get the show on the road. And if somebody wants to raise their hand and deputize me, I'm in.
Rock and roll.
I kid you not. I will go to arrest. I'll arrest a judge. I would not hesitate.
Nor would I.
You give me the written order? You give me a verbal order, I'll go arrest a judge. I don't care.
Did you and I not speak, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, or I don't know how long ago, if we didn't see some sort of arrest or high-profile arrest? And I'm not even sure of what we were talking about, whether it's this or something else. You know, we would question what's really taking place. We haven't seen any high-profile arrests yet, but
no,
are we going to?
I would certainly like to hope so. We could start with the Epstein list. That would be a nice place to start.
Yes. And that folks,
it would be a nice place. At least come out and say, look, we're putting investigations against boom, 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 something. Tell us something so we don't think you're sitting up there diddling your thumbs, because something's wrong here. And then we see this. They're getting brave because nothing's going on.
Yes.
They're getting brave because you're not doing anything.
That's right.
Start doing something. These people will back down because they'll know they're next.
Which was.
But if they think right now, you're asleep at the wheel. Do you hear us over there in Justice? FBI, do you hear us? You're asleep. You're making it rough on the people that are trying to do their jobs.
And quit with the excuses.
I'm done with it.
Excuses they never work.
And we've told you before, people are a lot safer if things are done through law and order.
Yes.
And through the legal system. But if there's no indication whatsoever that the legal system is going to intercede for the literally millions of victims of these people, guess what? Things are going to start happening that aren't necessarily legal. And I'm not threatening anybody. I'm just telling you how mankind operates. There's people sitting around waiting for justice. And if you're not going to deliver it to them, they're praying that somebody will.
If we have to go.
And you're inviting that. And shame on you.
You know,
those people on that Epstein list are going to be a whole lot safer if justice picks them up. And if the FBI picks them up.
A truer statement never spoken.
And right now, you've got a bunch of lists floating around out there that nobody knows what names are real and what ones aren't. That poses a real problem to people's safety.
Yep.
Because there's names on that list that shouldn't be on that list.
And when we say list, by the way, it's documents, it's other things, but a list is interchangeable.
So many altered lists.
Yeah.
That it would scare me if the population decided to cut loose and take justice in their own hands.
So, justice, do your thing before someone gets really bad hurt.
Yeah.
And people get big mad.
Yeah.
The storm is upon us.